Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Alt-country singer-songwriter Michaela Ann will perform at the Landis Arboretum in Esperance, New York, as part of the Landis Acoustic Music Series by Desolation Road Studios on Friday, May 16th at 7 p.m. A self-described military kid, Michaela Ann has moved beyond naval bases and barracks to settle in Brooklyn, New York. A former unhappy jazz student with a passion for Patsy Cline and Otis Redding, she has claimed her place among singers who go their own way. Her latest album, Ease My Mind, was released on April 8th of this year. Michaela Ann, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you.
When did you begin playing music?
I began playing music when I was probably 5 years old. My older brother played piano, and I was convinced that I needed to play piano as well, but his teacher said that I needed to wait. So I stole my brother's piano books and started teaching myself at that age, and then it just progressed from there, doing every different kind of musical thing I could until college was when I started playing guitar and writing songs and doing basically what I'm doing now.
Why did his teacher say you had to wait?
I think she said I was too young.
What does she know?
Yeah, exactly. I ended up playing in the recital and was like, no, I'm not.
Right. So when you began writing your own songs, what was the inciting incident, the first event that made you need to put that into song?
I wrote songs when I was a kid, but none of them had lyrics. Mm-hmm. I just wrote piano pieces. And then towards the end of high school and college, I started writing songs in response to some just personal stuff going on. My grandfather had passed away, and I moved, you know, across the country to go to college. And, you know, it was just kind of one of those, like, responses to some angst. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that I really loved it. So it just kind of developed from there. But I was writing all different styles of music. I went to a jazz conservatory and was writing some songs that resembled more Americana country songs like I write now, but also some more jazz-influenced music. And it kind of took a while to evolve into what and it continues to, obviously, but to evolve into what kind of felt like the most natural sound coming from me.
And what drew you to the sound that you're creating now? Tell us more about how you found your way to creating the music you create today.
Well, I always loved all kinds of music. My dad was a big country music fan, and when I was really young, I thought it was all really corny, and I made fun of him. But he told me that he loved country music because every song told a story, and I also thought that was really cheesy, but the more I explored music, especially in college, I studied a lot of the social movements of the 1960s and, of course, then the music that was the soundtrack to all of that and played a really large role in a lot of our mainstream American culture and what was going on. And it just really made me value the words and, you know, and that matched with the fact that when I sang, whenever I would choose songs to cover, singing kind of country rootsy songs just felt the most natural to my voice. That kind of combination just led me to fully embracing what felt the most natural, which just happened to be more American country rooted styles.
And how do you write the songs that you write? Tell us about your songwriting process. Are you very disciplined, or is it more casual? How do you work?
It's pretty casual for me, and it goes in phases. I've done different things in the past, like songwriting challenges, where for a period of time I have to write a song every week, mm-hmm. or I wake up every day and, you know, put on a timer and say I have to write for 10 minutes straight and take breaks or whatever. But depending on what's going on in life, I can also go months without ever finishing a song. But, you know, I'm kind of always writing ideas, so it kind of happens that I need some alone time to sit down, and I always write with my guitar, kind of chords and melody and words coming out all at once. But yeah, I guess, you know, when you're, there's cycles, so when you release a record and you're touring and promoting and doing all this stuff, it's a little harder to find time to write songs. So it's often kind of like the slow times when you're not as active out there that I can really concentrate on writing.
Your most recent record is entitled Ease My Mind. Is there a special story for this record? Does it have its own particular arc?
I think it does. I didn't write the songs with an album in mind. Like, I didn't set out to be like, I'm going to write an album. All the songs kind of just came naturally and in their own times, but they all kind of do have a line in them that kind of connects, which to me is the phrase Ease My Mind, which is all kind of, it's kind of just growing up and trying to figure out what kind of like the point of a lot of life is and how to deal with that without constantly being driven by anxiety.
Okay.
And I live in New York City, which I think anyone who lives in New York City is kind of prone to anxiety, at least that's my personal experience, just because of the kind of chaotic and intense energy that's here. And, you know, there's stuff always going on and everyone's so ambitious and creating and working. And, you know, I'm in my 20s, so it was kind of a process of graduating from college and becoming, you know, more of my own person in this kind of frantic place and learning how to process all of those things. And that's why I ultimately named the record Ease My Mind, because that's kind of felt like the point of all of it, was to be calm and relax.
You said you didn't set out to write an album. How then and when do you know that you have the songs to make an album, and how do you decide what songs will go on the record?
I think usually, this is only my second record, mm-hmm. so I think when I have enough songs that feel what I would call special enough, that I feel like they're strong enough that I want to share them,
mm-hmm.
that's when I feel like I have a record. And there might be, you know, in both cases, there were some leftover songs that ultimately didn't make the cut, but I initially thought they might. And that process kind of comes through working the songs out with the band and working it out with the producer and figuring out maybe a song doesn't make sense. Maybe one other song just was too different from the rest of them. But I think it's kind of like a timing process. There's always kind of this pressure professionally and career-wise to keep producing content and keep getting stuff out there, because the more you can contribute, the more people will know who you are. But artistically, it doesn't always work at that pace. I think it kind of comes in its own time, and I can't really force it. But once, you know, because I was thinking for a whole year before I started recording that I wanted to make a new record, but every opportunity to start it just kept feeling like, well, I don't think it's quite ready, and I don't think I quite have the song. So it kind of, in a way, feels out of my hands that they come together when they do.
You live in Brooklyn, New York, which has a fairly high saturation of musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find inspiration in collaborating with your neighbors?
You know, Brooklyn is funny because there are so many musicians here, and a lot of times at night, you know, you can go to jams and see people, and there's always a million shows to see. But it often feels challenging to find time during the day or at night as well to to collaborate. I feel like there's so many people that I would love to work with more, but the actual times when I've gotten to sit down and write a song with someone or do a duet or something are a little more rare than I would like. But when it does happen, it's incredible, and I do feel really lucky that I've grown up in this community where, you know, in my college and young adult life, where there's just this incredible amount of talent, and specifically in the scene that I'm in, there's an incredible amount of female talent, which I find really inspiring. So I have gotten to take advantage of that. I've done a lot of collaboration with my friend Annie Lynch, who has this great band, Annie and the Beekeepers, and we've gone on tour together, and so that has, yes, definitely been inspiring to get those opportunities. And even if it's neighbors that I haven't gotten to specifically collaborate with, just being in their presence and getting to hear them and see their growth and their evolution has been really, really inspiring.
Who were some of the people that inspired you, some recording artists that inspired you to pursue the style you pursue? Who were some of your favorites to listen to?
Emmylou Harris is kind of my number one. I just think that she's crafted a really incredible career that reflects her musical taste and passion and curiosity, and it seems like she just pursued whatever direction felt good to her at the time. Patti Griffin is an incredible songwriter. She's someone I listen to a lot. Graham Parsons. I like a lot of the classic soulful country voices, George Jones and Patsy Cline. Current day artists, I'd say my two kind of top favorites today are Hooray for the Riff Raff and Shovels and Rope. They're both just young bands that I feel like are really genuine and authentic, and I definitely like artists who write from a place of honesty and truth and kind of portray that in their image. However crafted their image might be, it comes with a real taste of honesty that I'm attracted to.
Our guest is Michaela Ann, who will perform at the Landis Arboretum as part of the Landis Acoustic Music Series by Desolation Road Studios on Friday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Now we're going to play a couple of songs from her album, Ease My Mind, and she is going to introduce them.
I Ain't For You was actually inspired by my grandmother, who is, she just recently passed away, but she was a very, very spirited, feisty woman, and she kind of, her advice was always, to don't get sad, get mad, and she kind of had a don't let anyone take advantage of you attitude, and so I wrote this song just thinking of her response to any time I would complain about someone or being wronged by something. So it was this kind of stubborn, fiery attitude that came out in the song from her.
First, I wanna make you see.
the song Anymore, I wrote specifically with my friend Annie Lynch in mind. We were about to go on tour together, and it came out where I just felt like it needed a second voice, and luckily she sings on the record, and I've rarely performed it without her. I feel like it's just one of those songs that came out as a two-voice song for Annie and I.
Boy, it shows you wanna go. I won't hold you. I won't hold you anymore.
Michaela Ann, it's been great speaking with you. Thank you so much for taking the time, and have a wonderful time at the Landis Arboretum in Esperance, New York.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
The Landis Acoustic Music Series by Desolation Road Studios at the Landis Arboretum in Esperance, New York presents Michaela Ann and Ammar Palopoulos on Friday, May 16th at 7 p.m. More information is available at wamc.org/roundtable.